Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Well, I have a few more gray hairs, and I'm sure my blood pressure is a few points higher, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Exciting Packers game. Excitement for sure, and not knowing what was going to happen at any point in that game was kind of... It was a great game of football. There was a few games today, too, that were great. We are recording this just hours after the Packers' thankful victory over the Bengals in overtime 25-22. I'm sure that the story of this game is going to do a lot with kickers. But before we kick it to that, do you have any thoughts, Jesse, about this victory over the Bengals?
Yeah, just overall general, you know, Matt LaFleur said it. There's no such thing as style points in the NFL. It couldn't ring any more true than in this game, because it seemed like the Packers, well, and the Bengals for a while there too, they were doing everything they could not to win. Like, it just seemed like neither team wanted to take this game and just finish it. But yeah, Cincinnati's a good football team. We came in banged up again, and you know, we're down to the nitty gritty on the O line, and yet the Packers found a way to win. That shows a lot to, you know, the, not just the coaching staff, but, you know, Goody getting the guys in and building a strong roster. So it was a good team. This is a battle-hardening win. So it was a good win.
Yeah, there was a statistic that went on the broadcast. 72 career starts for that Packers offensive line was the fewest of any offensive line in the league week five. So young line, no Myers, no Jenkins. I guess with Myers, I mean, Patrick, I think, has more career starts than Myers. But I thought Lucas Patrick played fine at center. Royce Newman had some really great moments. There was a couple of key plays that really all the linemen at times when they needed to step up did. I thought really both lines played well for the Packers, I think.
I agree. We won in the trenches. I mean, you know, there were some problems with the play calling, and Matt LaFleur said that, you know, where he wasn't aggressive enough. And I think it got a little predictable on some of the runs where, you know, Cincinnati took advantage of. But overall, I think we really controlled the trenches. That was the best of D line, even outside of just Kenny Clark, because it's been the Kenny Clark show and nobody else stepping up. I thought everybody played really well. They all had moments on the D line. So, yeah, that was good to see.
Basically summed up all the thoughts that I want to cover here. So just talking about that defensive line, Kenny Clark was a monster. Once again, it seems like whenever he gets double teamed, something good happens for the Packers. Preston Smith's sack came on a Clark double team. I believe there was a third down stop on a Clark double team. So really, I found when the Bengals had success, they were, you know, playing one on one to Clark, and they were getting him to, you know, that offensive lineman was winning. And I guess one of the times they went one-on-one, Clark pressured Burrow, got him out of the pocket, and you know, maybe a decision he shouldn't have done to try and throw it. Instead of just throwing out of bounds, he throws it for the first interception of the game for the Bengals. So Clark was incredible. But one thing was, I thought, like, right off the get-go, the opening possessions, defensive possessions for the Packers were great. Like that defensive line, really, that third, like on the opening drive, third and one, QB sneak, and they stop it and force a punt. That was great. Like right off the bat, they really set the tone. The first touchdown drive, Clark barely played on that drive. From what I remember, like I was looking for him on the screen and couldn't find him. There's like a few consecutive plays, and they kind of marched down the field, and that was really the only time they had done that kind of methodically, like through the run game, gaining first downs. And I think Clark not being there was a big factor for that. And they brought him in the red zone, and then, I mean, they still scored the touchdown. So I was a little concerned there. It's like, okay, if Clark gets shut down, do they have anything? But then there was another possession later where I noticed Clark was out for most of it, and they were able to get the stop. I believe that was the drive where that ended with Burrow taking that kind of nasty looking hit from, kind of nasty looking result from a great hit by Darnell Savage on a 3rd and 12, where he was trying to run for the first down. I think it was that drive where Clark didn't play much and the defense still got the stop. So that drive to me was the really encouraging one, because, you know, without really using Kenny Clark much there, And it being Lowry and Kiki, I thought Lowry had an amazing game, but that drive to me spoke that we can get this done without him. This is a defensive line unit. It's not just Kenny Clark and the boys. Like this really was a unit. So I thought that possession in particular was a really key one for that.
Yeah, well, I was right when I'm like, where is Kenny Clark? Well, here, you know, it was pretty warm there today. So I think it was, you know, trying to keep guys fresh. It was good. I had mixed feelings on that, especially with some of the pass rushing, you know, when it's like, hey, we need to stop here. You should have your best players out there. You know, it just is what it is. But yeah, like you're saying, you know, when Kenny wasn't there, there was good signs. Like TJ Slayton, I thought played really good too. I mean, he commanded some double teams, you know, and Dean Lowry by far, that's probably the best game I've ever seen from Dean Lowry. Actually, he played really well. So it's trending in the right direction there. That's a good thing. Good to see, you know, and I mean, just keep going with the defense. You know, Chris Barnes looked good, you know, had the sack. Drake Hamble, man, what a pickup. This guy is just balling out. Huge interception. He's all over the field again. I'm like, man, what a signing. If we can get some kind of positives out of Jalen Smith, this inside linebacker group is strong. I like it. I like how they look. I thought Eric Stokes played in a great game. You know, for everything, you know, you can talk about Jamar Chase. Stokes, he was never open when he was on with Stokes. Even when he made good plays or made the catch, he was blanketed. Stokes is going to be a great player. I mean, this kid's just going to get better. I was so impressed with, and they were saying about too in college, you know, when he was at Georgia and they played LSU, he was right in Jamar Chase's hip pocket the whole time. And he did it again. I mean, he's just a really good player. Darnell Savage with that hit that you're talking about was great. And then on that big play, he's got to break that pass up on that 70-yard touchdown to Chase. Oh man, he should have picked it off. But when you give the quarterback 10 seconds and only rush two, I really questioned that play calling there on defense. But overall, just a really good team effort where, you know, I wouldn't really necessarily say bend, but don't break, because they didn't bend on some drives. And then like when they get to the end zone, that's got to be cleaned up. I think it was like we've given up 17 straight touchdowns in the red zone. That's awful. So that's got to be fixed. But overall, as a unit, hey, you played a really strong offense and gave up 22 points. That's a good day. That's a good day.
Yeah, it certainly could have been a lot worse. I mean, the Stokes Chase matchup was great. Early press coverage duty for Stokes, and he got beat right off the line. But that speed that we talked about, did he clock in at 4:43? He showed it there, you know, breaking up and not just, you know, having the speed to recover, but perfectly timing the pass breakup so that it wasn't a defensive pass interference call. Actually, Packers, what, two penalties, right? Two and both false starts. And one was a false start on a play that I thought should have been delay a game. Like that was Tonyan moved when like the clock was down at zero, I think. So like, I don't even want to call it a false start. I don't know why LaFleur didn't call a timeout. Like it seemed like, could you not tell that they were zoned in and they weren't going to be ready? Guys were still moving with like 2 seconds left. And like, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe coaching might have been one of the bigger things that let down the Packers today, honestly. Defensively, like that one play call with Joe Barry rushing two, that might have been the only bad defensive play call that we, you know, thinking, what was that? Because it's tough to blame Savage. Like I said, you can't really expect a safety to cover an elite receiver like that, and it seems like Chase is really becoming that for 10 seconds. You know, he almost looked like Kevin King the way he tried to, like, lay out for the pass. He really kind of shouldn't have. He really should have just... It's a big play. Just don't let him score. Get the tackle. You know, sure, Savage would like to have that one back. Because I've seen Kevin King do that when he's out of position. Not to say that's the same thing here. I almost thought for a second when I didn't see the numbers, like, is that Kevin King that just got burned? But no, it wasn't. That was opposite side of the field completely. I won't blame. I actually thought Kevin King did pretty well, like coming back from the concussion. They rotated him, got him in and out, and actually got him played well too. Like, really, I think the defense, like, tough to find anyone who played poorly. The one guy that didn't really show up was Rashawn Gary, but it also seems like the Bengals like made sure to give extra attention towards him. I mean, sometimes they double team Clark, double teaming Slayton, and Slayton beat the double team to get his sack. I thought that was an incredibly impressive play. So Yeah, the defense might be the most impressive unit of the three today.
Of today. Yeah, it was way better in special teams, which we'll get to. But yeah, you're right. Well, Kevin King, outside of being made of glass, because I think he didn't finish the game again on that one tackle. He fell funny. And I don't think he came back out. He just, it's one thing or another with that guy. You know, can't catch a break with health. But then, you know, other than that, I thought he played solid overall. I mean, this is three really good wide receivers on this team. And, you know, take away Chase's huge play there. We did pretty good. You know, I thought we did pretty good against that. I mean, overall, that's good coverage, you know, playing with out your best guy. That's all world. That usually takes one guy away. They did a good job slowing everybody else down. Yeah. And on that play with Savage, I mean, you just got to knock that ball down. You know, it was a zone. His recovery speed's amazing. There's no questions about that. He got all the way back over there. And I don't know if he just got kind of lost in no man's land where it's like, should I pick this off or should I knock it down? And he missed the ball. But like you said, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's going to make that play. But and I agree with you with Jamar Chase. That kid's going to be he's a superstar in the making. Well, he's already a superstar. But I mean, just he just looks so smooth. Really nice young receiver that they have there.
Okay, so all the praise for the defense, but now moving over to the offense. I think the players played well, but really play calling was kind of suspect. And it's funny because it was, I thought the play calling was excellent, especially to start the first quarter, but that first drive to in particular, right off the bat, the very first play of the game, you run an outside run because, okay, you know, okay, this interior, this line shuffling around a little bit, no Myers, Patrick in. How's the running going to be? So let's have actually a run play where the primary blockers at the point of attack are Mercedes Lewis and Alan Lazard, and what, 14 yards, first down. And it's like, okay, establishing something. And then they were using the outside runs, and then it kind of stopped. That drive stopped. And then the rest of that first quarter and most of that first half, it was just runs up the middle. What's going on here? At the end, a couple of those really telegraphed or just constant running up the middle on first and second down, which again, with a guy like AJ Dillon, maybe is better than running outside with Jones. So I get that, but at the end when they were trying to just get, you know, get in field goal range and first and second down, run. It almost seemed like a Mike McCarthy type of play calling where things were kind of really telegraphed there at certain times. Just the way the formation when Rodgers was under center on this one play, I knew it was a run play coming a mile away. So, and I mean, I think it was either a stuff for 0 yards or a tackle for loss. So clearly the defense did too. And it just seemed like, you know, this looks like a run formation. They're like, this looks like the type of mechanics Rodgers and the O-line does when they run. So like, that's got to get cleaned up in terms of being less predictable. Cause that's always been the appeal of the Matt LaFleur offense, is not letting the defense know what's happening, not being so predictable. And it really seemed like as the game wore on, it got more and more predictable what the play calling was going to be. And then it was, again, it kind of like the McCarthy system. It was relying on Rodgers to scramble and make a big deep play to, in this game, was either Adams or Cobb. It was basically one or the other. No one else was. But which worked. I mean, Adams had over 200 receiving yards. So that's obviously a great game. But yeah, I think the coaching really could have helped make this better, I think.
Yeah, and LaFleur, you know, I love his honesty, and, you know, he kind of lays it out there, and he did say, he's like, I did not call a good game today. So that's good that he notices that, and not being stuck, you know, he's going to improve on that. He's just got that mentality. But I agree 100%. It was very bland, especially when Adams could have had 400 yards receiving if they would have kept feeding him, because they had no answer for him. And it just, I don't know, it seemed like they would try to get cute at times or be predictable with the runs up the middle. With all these motions and stuff that they do, it's a great idea and concept, but when was the last time they've actually used it? So right now, teams aren't even respecting that. So hopefully maybe next week, you know, you could hit something on that jet sweep to the outside and you can pick up some yards, and then space them out and open them up where they have to respect it more. But right now, they're just waiting for that run up the middle. And that's a lot to ask on, you know, this young line, especially with, you know, jumbling guys around again. So I have all the confidence in the world he's going to clean up some of the play calling there. But and there were some execution problems. The first quarter, I thought Aaron Rodgers looked awful. just he wasn't even moving his feet to get into any three. He looked really bad. Didn't play his best game, but it improved after that first quarter. But it wasn't it looked like it, the early parts of the Saints game, to be honest. So I don't know what was up with that. But then he started stepping into maybe it was just trust with the line, too. I don't know. That could be a lot of it with the new center. Got the young guys in there, you know, got to still play in left tackle. You got Yosh playing out there, which he's holding his own and doing good, but it just looked like Rodgers is really uncomfortable early. So, but once they got going, I mean, it was a thing of beauty. Aaron Jones, that has run in the second half, kind of his big sealer run, that was a thing of beauty how he made that first guy miss. And, oh, man, what a great play. Dylan looked really good, both on the ground. He only had 3.8 yards per carry. A lot of them were some of those negative plays. But, you know, he looked pretty good in the passing game. You know, four catches, almost 50 yards and a touchdown. So it was nice to see those guys get involved a little bit. Still, we somehow got to get another receiver outside of Adams really going. But we should have scored easy 30 this game. So we left some points out there, not even counting field goals, because turn those into seven, we'll be clicking. But we haven't seen this offense's best game, I guess, is my whole point with this rambling. And once it all starts and goes together, you're going to see a pretty nasty group.
When either one of Jenkins or Bock gets back, that I think will already kind of start to work that in the right direction. Maybe Jenkins comes back as early as next week. But I agree, like Rodgers, he was the opposite of the play calling. As the play calling got worse, he seemed to play better. His interception, that was very uncharacteristic, and I know it's a deep shot, so, you know, the placement, it's so, like, just a tiny fraction of a millimeter released from your hand, the angle could change, you know, 3-4 yards width when it gets down 30 yards down the field, right? Like those types of trajectories. But yeah, his interception on the sideline throw a little too far inward. You usually see him place it perfectly to where the receiver has enough, and usually Adams, enough room to make that play, but not too far inside where the DB has a good chance to pick it off. And that one seemed like the placement wasn't quite there on that. So a little uncharacteristic on that throw. Like I said, maybe the footwork, the mechanics, his mechanics have always been so incredible. So it's kind of one of those when he doesn't have it for a play, you kind of panic a little bit, but yeah, it certainly calmed down.
And I will say too, some of the play calling I did like is the play action where he would roll out, and it was like you had a tight end or, you know, a slot receiver dragging across. The one with Mercedes Lewis was coming across there, and he made a heck of a play. You know, first down, probably should have sealed the game. But those are beautifully designed plays. So I like seeing that where they move the pocket and you basically make the defender choose which guy he's going to cover, because you can't cover both of them. That's hard. That's almost impossible to stop, right? It might not be a huge play, but that's good for, like, you know, second and fives where you know you could at least pick up 5 to 15 yards. So we didn't play 60 minutes of football, you know, but when things were going right, they looked really good. You know, when things were going bad, it's like, oh, you know, just like clunky. So it's still early.
Talking about the bad, we get to special teams.
Oh, Lord.
So before we even get to the kicking, again, probably problems on coverage. There was that one return. I can't remember which player returned, but it was like a 30 or 40 yard kickoff return. And like there were like 3 or 4 Packers players kind of at the point of attack, what could have maybe minimized to a 5 or 10 yard return, and they just got bullied out of the way. I think in that scrum, like Dean Lowry was kind of taking on a double team, so, and he was kind of holding his own, but then like 3 or 4 Packers just kind of parted completely, and that was the seam that was needed, and that was all it took. And glad that the I don't know if you call it the secondary, but the back end of the coverage was able to not let him score, because that's the unfortunate thing that the Packers seem to be to do. So that was pretty awful, actually. But there were also some good return coverage plays. I remember there was one where there's a nice punt inside the 5, and I think they tackled him at the 10 or 11, whoever the returner was. So there were some good plays where it would happen, but yeah, it seems like, especially on kickoffs, that's where it seems like it's really bad for that coverage.
Yeah, it needs to be kicked through the stadium on kickoff from now on, because it's just there's a few sprinkled in good plays, but then you have that breakdown. And it's like, you know, it's every week there's a breakdown where it's like, even when the ball's in the air, it's like, oh, what bad's going to happen now? And you shouldn't feel like that. We had a bad punt that, you know, out of bounds was really bad. Like, this group is just so cursed. And then, you know, then it gets to, you know, Mr. Reliable, where, you know, they kept talking about how many he's made in a row. Well, that the wheels came off today, that's for sure.
I mean, and he made his first, what, two or three of the game? Like, yep. He ended, how many field goal attempts did Crosby have? Like, nine? Unfortunately, missing seven, yeah. Yeah, I think it was exaggerating a little bit. But, yeah, missed a point after, which apparently was the thing today in the NFL. 11 missed point afters in the early Sunday, or both the afternoon Sunday blocks. So Crosby wasn't the only one, but, yeah, to be honest, so, and I mean, the missed kicks happened on the Bengals side, too. So Crosby's missed point after, and then what? There were five missed field goals in the final 3 minutes of regulation or overtime. But any one of those kicks go in and that team wins it, right? And I mean, Crosby eventually does make it work, but I mean, to be fair, like that whole final end of the fourth quarter, it was constantly in my mind, okay, oh, now the Bengals are gonna win. Okay, we got this. With Crosby, I mean, there was that Lions game that one year where he seemed like he just couldn't not hit the upright. If you try to hit the upright that much, he wouldn't be able to do it. And then he rebounded and was great the rest of the season. So I'm not so concerned with Crosby. This just seemed like it was one of those days. You kind of seems like you get one of those with Crosby every couple of years. Now, if this repeats and this is not the only time it happens this season, that's when you can maybe start to worry. But I wouldn't be worried at all. The 49-yarder, it's a nice way to win the game at the end.
Right. Yeah. You know, we in Crosby, we trust. You know, I look at kickers a lot like closers in baseball, where, you know, a lot of it, I think, was mental. After he missed that extra point, and after that first field goal, you're thinking, now you're in your own head, you're psyching yourself out. He's going to be fine. He'll bounce back from it. It was a bad day. And it brought back memories of that other one where it's just like, they're not going to go in, you know, and it. Nice little redemption at the end where it went through. And like Devontae Adams said, he's like, I don't know how many he missed because I only remember the ones he makes. And the one that he made won the game. So no style points in the NFL. They got it done. It was a gritty win.
Although there's a player whose style we really like since joining this year. And that was another key moment. Devondre Campbell, the interception in overtime, I thought won the game for them. I mean, obviously, it would have been nice if he had scored. Then he would have for sure won it. And then, yeah, Crosby, I think that one he missed from 36, which I guess is less, there is more than the point after, so technically the point after is still the worst miss in terms of the lowest distance. But yeah, that was certainly a key play there. And is that enough to get Campbell as the Packers' prime performer for this game?
It was a great play, but I was thinking a guy who's never went over, which is surprising, he's never been over 200 yards in his career receiving. Had a touchdown. Rodgers said he should have had two because he was wide open and just didn't get him the ball. But Devontae Adams, man, 11 receptions, 206 yards, and a TD. First time going over 200 in his career. Like I said, he could have had 300 or 400 if they kept feeding him because nobody was covering him today. So I would put it between those two guys. You can make the call.
Yeah, 200 receiving yards is there. We also haven't given it to a defensive player yet. But yeah, you're right. I guess his first career 200-yard game, that's kind of significant enough that probably will lean towards Adam. Don't worry, Campbell, your day is coming. He's basically an honorary Packers prime performer every game anyway. So I don't know. He's been fantastic. And actually, Campbell did leave with an injury for a couple plays, but was happy to see that wasn't too serious and that he came back because it seems like that Packers defense really needs him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're in the discussion every week for player of the game, you're doing pretty darn good. So I hope he keeps it up. Because we're going to need him down the stretch. But yeah, what a great addition to this team, man. Just all over the field, making plays. And that was a heady play. They're even talking about it where they saw something in film and knew that he was going to be able to get underneath and get a pick. And what better timing. Unfortunately, we didn't win the game on that one. So, but hey, it worked out.
But legitimately, that might have been the Bengals' drive that doesn't end with a field goal. Instead, that one finds the end zone and they win it there. Or they get closer and it's an easier field goal. Because here's the thing with McPherson's misses. Like, the first one he missed from 57, and that looked good most of the way and just caught the upright. Like, if he had kicked from any of Crosby's distances, he wins the game for the Bengals on it. Right? If he had kicked from 51, it probably makes it. Or 49, or even the you know, certainly from 36. Right? So that, you know, McPherson... maybe a little lucky that the Bengals couldn't drive far enough on that kick there, the 57-yarder, because that looked like a pretty good kick most of the way. But Adams is the prime performer, and it's funny that sometimes some of his biggest plays came when he was being double-teamed too. Like, oh, why don't teams just blanket cover him? It seems like that's not even working anymore. Like, he's finding ways to beat anything. So, yeah, good point with Adams there, Jesse. And any other points you want to make before we head to the outro?
Only thing I can think of is it's Bears week. They got a big win today against a pretty good team themselves. So, hey, division rival, Bears week, go Pack, go.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, do you have any topics you want us to specifically talk about for that Bears game or any future episodes, you can reach us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. I'm at Senra Says. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives all the great Full Press Coverage content, whether it's articles, podcasts, the Full Press Radio Network, all in one convenient spot. That is on the Full Press Coverage app. Also, shout out to PA the Second, who we found on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music. As Jesse said, go Pack Go. I don't know if you want to repeat it again, just so that everyone knows it for sure. We went to overtime today, right? So we can go overtime on the Go Pack Go.
Right, hey, it's Bears week, so as many times as we want, right? Go Pack Go.
Yeah, look forward to the Bears preview on the next episode of the Full Press Packers Pod.